The first reading this evening may be found on page 1196 of the Bibles in the pews. 1196, the second letter to Timothy, beginning at chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
be to God. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and can be found on page 1001. The Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
A prayer as we stand. Lord, we've just heard you've promised to be with us. May that be the case now by the power of your Spirit. And what we need in our daily lives as we go from this place, carry on through our busy weeks, we pray that you'll be with us as we need to be your witnesses and followers. In your precious name, amen. Please be seated. If you wish to follow some of my reflections as we work through Paul's second letter to Timothy, page 1196. Thank you, Derek, for reading to us. Now, a stone's throw that direction, just, I think, almost over Yvonne Burgess's head, although I shan't risk throwing a stone that close to her, or actually it will rebound off the organ. My vicarage lies, and if you look up, not when there's ice on the pavement, you'll see on top of the vicarage a rather over-specified aerial. I happen to like listening to the radio, and I used to live in a part of the country where you needed a whopping great big aerial. So I bought one because it cost money. I put it up there. It's now pointing north to Rootham, which is, of course, really, really close. So I get a really, really strong signal. But however the aerial, when you're tuning, this is the point, your radio, you need to get the signal right on. Mine's 91.3. Radio 3 is my favourite station. And if it wobbles a little bit, the light or the buzzer tells you. Some people, and I hope they won't be here this evening, tune out when we're listening to the Apostle Paul because we feel that his lifestyle, so many missionary journeys, he was rather an intense man. I mean, he was once a murderer, and of course he wrote these wonderful love poems, but his life is quite frankly not mine, so I'm just going to tune out. The trouble is you'll tune out most of the New Testament. And whilst the creed is optional in a communion service, I suspect Sally will say it this evening, the Nicene Creed or the Apostolic Creed. People who have been with Jesus and the Apostle Paul, who was with him in a very special way, are the bedrock, the foundation, the apostolic foundation of our Christian faith. Unless we tune into that, we will wildly miss the mark. It won't mean that we won't hear the radio as we want. We won't hear the Lord as we want. The Apostle Paul's writings, in summary, are there to do us good. We can't tune him out because he didn't live our sorts of everyday life, because he was an intense man who travelled much, endured much. And he dares to suggest that as you don't just look at his teaching, as you look at his life, that's almost not just an apostolic creed or an apostolic teaching, it's an apostolic example in such a way, this is the important thing not to tune out in, that what happened to Paul can happen to us. The way the Lord blessed him, because it's apostolic, because it's the foundation of our faith, is what potentially can happen to us if we tune into it. Without further ado, that's what we're going to do this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm even going to start at the first verse we looked at, verse 10. You have a whole list of Paul almost in download mode. Some people, if you're in a therapeutic context, might actually say, well, someone has unburdened themselves to me. This is all their troubles. This is all their life. This is what's on their mind at the moment. I don't actually think this is comprehensive of Paul. I think he probably could say a lot more, but it's quite a list. You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me? Then the places, the persecutions I endured. He is, as it were, writing them all down. I wonder what you would say to someone who's sitting next to you, who had that winsomeness of transparency of face and spirit that you just felt you could tell them anything and it really wouldn't matter because they would listen, because it would be safe with them, because you could trust them. We all need people we can talk to. I wonder who you do. I perhaps think that some of us don't have people like that, and even struggle to get it off our chest to the Lord. But Paul is quite unfettered. It's all there. Timothy, you know all about the things that have happened to me. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There are some very good things here. My purpose, my faith, my patience. Not so good things, the endurance, the difficulties, the sufferings, and then the ugly things, the persecution. Paul even says quite challengingly later on that you don't just have my creed, my teaching, my example. He almost seems to suggest that everyone who wants to live a godly life in persecution, live a godly life in Jesus Christ, will be persecuted. It's a shame he doesn't mention the good, the bad, but actually the ugly. You will have these things. I wonder what your list would be. But notice what happens to Paul. I've picked up three things that seems to happen to him in his life. Notice verse 11, the Lord rescued me. You need to read the story of all his missionary journeys, through all the difficulties he got in, and he got into quite some. The Lord rescued him. Then verse 15, notice through all the difficulties he had, the Lord made him wise, particularly through the use of Scripture. The Lord gave him wisdom. And then verse 17, Paul says to Timothy, may the Lord also equip you as he's equipped me. Do you get the point? There is an apostolic creed. There's an apostolic teaching. There's an apostolic example. And there is, so Paul says, if we receive Christ, what happened to him can happen to us. However long his list was, he received wisdom. The Lord rescued him. The Lord equipped him. Whatever our list is, however easy we feel it is to unburden ourselves, whoever we talk to, whether that is someone or not, it's sure and certain that the Lord can rescue you, that the Lord can give you wisdom, that the Lord can equip you. I think the grammatical expression is here between these two facets of Paul's life, his long list of that's how my life is, and these wonderful gifts that the Lord gives him. There is, as it were, a dialectical relationship. That's too complicated for a Sunday evening. I'm simply trying to say they're related. You can't sense the Lord's rescue. You won't know the Lord's wisdom. You won't actually know the sorts of person you can be with the Lord's equipment unless actually you've got this other list of life's good things, not so good things, and struggles. It's in that place that this apostolic gift, as it was for Paul, so it can be for you. I'm sure we need wisdom. I'm sure the Lord will equip you. You won't just be on your own. But perhaps the word, particularly this evening, was burdened by spirit. What is it that the Lord needs to rescue you from? How is it in your life at the moment? What would you tell that person whom you could trust? What would you write down if you were just given a sheet of paper and told, with time and space, tell me it all? The Lord, this is the creed, this is the Christian teaching, this can happen. The Lord will rescue you. In one part of Paul's travels, he reflected that actually during this particular time, the Lord stood by me. He was right there. What is the situation that the Lord can rescue you from? What's the situation that the Lord can stand by you in? That's the creed. That's the teaching. That's the example. It happened in his life. That too can be your testimony and mine. Sometimes indeed we start communion services off with these very words, the Lord be with you. And the response comes back, and with your spirit. May it not just be creedal, may it not just be said, but as we go from this place, we find his presence and his rescue. Amen.